Pacific.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio, and we have a superhuman show for you today. During the first hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Dominic Pesta to talk about high-protein diets for weight loss, how they work, and some things that you should be concerned about or be aware of if you're going to employ a high-protein diet. Top of the second hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Jeff Galini to perform Science for Humans. We're going to revisit creatine. And then, at the bottom of the second hour, we're going to be talking with Dr. J. Pedro Magalhães about the bowhead whale, which lives over 200 years. Can its genes tell us anything that would improve our lifespan as well? Remember, Superhuman Radio is made possible by a special grant from All American Pharmaceutical. You can learn more about them by going to superhumanradio.com. And guess who's back? Aura MD is back. Those of you who remember Aura MD from last year, the alternative to toothpaste oils that actually improve the microbiome of the mouth, they now have a buy one, get one free, only available to those of us in the Superhuman Nation. Go to superhumanradio.com. Look in the call recommends area for the special offer for Aura MD and welcome them back. High protein diets are very popular today. Lots of people extol the benefits of them and say they help with weight loss. Others within the medical orthodoxy warn us to be careful about high protein intake. My next guest is Dr. Dominic Pesta. How are you doing, Dr. Pesta?
Hi, Carl. I'm doing very good.
Good, good.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I mean, high-protein diets have been popular for quite some time now, dating back even into the 20s and 30s, where people started to discover that if you replaced carbohydrate and fat macronutrients with protein intake, that some magic occurred, right? What is the reason that we see weight loss effects when you increase protein intake?
So there's actually a number of factors that contribute to this increased protein-induced satiety, as we see it in many studies that have been done. And one powerful factor is, for example, something that's called diet-induced thermogenesis. And that's what you see when you ingest different kinds of foods, such as carbohydrates, fats, and protein. And with protein, you see an increased thermogenic response, the highest one with those macronutrients. And this leads to an increase in your basic metabolic rate, basically, which allows your body to burn calories already when you're digesting, so to say.
Now, why is it that protein and not carbohydrates or fats seems to have this thermic effect of feeding?
So it seems that protein is a macronutrient that you can't really store. So basically, all you eat too much is basically oxidized, and as amino acids or the building blocks of proteins are oxidized, this has a high demand of oxygen. And as you increase your oxygen demand, your energy demand increases. And this seems to be one of the factors. But besides that, it's also the digestion, of course, the metabolism and the absorption of the proteins and of the amino acids themselves. But it seems that this oxidation, immediate oxidation, basically, is something that increases your energy demand when you eat protein.
Now, the research that we're discussing today was actually a meta-analysis or a review of the available science out there, correct?
That is correct, yeah.
Okay. So what are the other benefits of higher protein intakes? We understand the thermic effect of feeding, and we understand that it does seem to improve satiety after a meal. You don't feel as hungry as long. Are there any other benefits that feed into why a high protein diet seems to produce a greater weight loss?
Yeah, we have other factors that contribute, of course, and there is a second category that's basically concerning hormones, and there is two hormones that are of special importance. They are called incretins, basically, and the incretins are secreted by our gut. It's a kind of a gut hormone, and the two that are mostly altered by protein ingestion and so induced satiety is the one is called GLP-1, which is called the glucagon-like peptide one, and the other one is called the GIP, gastric inhibitory polypeptide. And those two, it's actually interesting because pharmaceutical industry has discovered the powerful effect of those incretins, as they are called, and there is actually some medications from
Victoza. Victoza is injectable GLP-1, right?
Exactly. Yeah. For example, or liraglutide. It's an anti-diabetic, but also an anti-obesity drug, and it has just been accepted for the U.S. market. And those companies know that those incretin hormones have powerful effects on satiety. And if we ingest protein, we see that those two incretins are increased, and this can induce. And they basically what they do is they increase the insulin release from the pancreas, and they decrease the gastric emptying. So basically, your food stays in the stomach for longer, and this induces a satiating effect.
Now, is there some other benefit of protein intake from the standpoint of the all of the steps that you just discussed actually cause a more, what's the word I'm looking for, predictable level of blood sugar, right? The blood sugar, you don't see wild spikes, hyper and then hypoglycemia. Mm-hmm. It's very, very, very stable, right?
Exactly. Yeah, because what you normally see is if your blood sugar gets out of control and you consume a meal, for example, high in carbs, you have those spikes of insulin, and because of the high glycemic index of those foods that cause a huge release of insulin, and what happens is of course with the huge increase of insulin, your body takes up the glucose very fast. But on the other hand, then the glucose is gone from your bloodstream, and all that's left is basically a feeling of hunger that's coming back very fast because high insulin release, high glucose uptake, and then it's gone, and your body's waiting again for more food. And with the protein, this is all kind of balanced out, and there is a decreased or a slower release of insulin, the spike is gone, and this gives you a much more controlled setting of nutrient uptake, and this induces the prolonged satiety.
Now, these are all good things. I've heard there's another kind of extrinsic value in a high protein diet, and that is it has a mild diuretic effect. It seems to because protein metabolism requires kidney function, and kidney function requires fluid, and so it kind of pulls water out of the system. Is this true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically, if people are on a high protein diet, the protein is actually degraded to ammonia, and ammonia is toxic, so there is a further degradation in the body to urea. And urea can comfortably be excreted via the urine, as we all know. And if you're on a high protein diet, your kidney, of course, work harder than if you eat less protein. So, and for the excretion of urea, you need fluid, as you say. So there is, it's good for people on a high protein diet to ingest a lot of water to get rid of their end products, so to say. And what we see in high protein diet people is that the filtration rate of the kidney, as I just said, it works harder. The filtration rate of the kidney is increased. But for healthy people, this is not of any concern. So we call that the glomerular filtration rate of the kidney. So just the kidney, just rushes through the plasma basically and gets rid of the, filters out the urea. And if there is a lot of urea, of course, there's a lot of filtration. But the kidney is able to adapt, and we see that from studies with, for example, pregnant women. If they have a fetus, the kidney is working harder in the mother at the first instance. But the kidney is very adaptive and can easily adapt to higher rates of filtration. And as long as it's in a healthy range of 2-3 grams per kilo per day of protein ingestion, the kidney is absolutely able to handle it in healthy people.
I'm sorry. I want to take a quick commercial break.
Okay.
But when we come back, I want to pick it up on the other side. And if you have more thoughts that you want to finish about kidney function and protein intake, but I also want to discuss with you some other aspects of the high protein diet. We're talking right now with Dr. Dominic Pesta. We're talking about high protein diets for weight loss, mechanisms, and caveats. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Freakish muscle gains, Freak Maker Build from AAEFX. It's a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines protolan, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, prealkaline, and medium-chain triglycerides. A 2-to-1 carb-to-protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freak Maker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of prealkaline pH buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freak Maker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad. You've already heard the hundreds of testimonials about how well the Age Force Fat Burner Patch works. Now it's even better. Age Force has added the powerful appetite suppressor, Hoodia. So now, while your body's in high gear burning fat, you'll have an easier time sticking to your diet. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today to get a buy one, get one free for a limited time. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order. New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex. It's finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics, Progenidrex.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest high protein potato chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Dominic Pesta. We're talking about high-protein diets right now. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Hi, right, so, was any of the idea that high-protein diets seem to stimulate a greater degree, assuming quality protein is ingested, protein synthetic response, and that its role on increasing basal metabolic rates and maybe adding a little pinch here and there to greater degree of body fat loss, not necessarily weight loss, because you're putting on muscle, the scale doesn't differentiate, but muscle does help rid the body of some fat. Any of that in the research that you reviewed?
So you name it. So basically what is happening when people are on the weight loss procedures, they of course lose fat mass, but they also lose muscle mass. And first of all, a response of the body on weight loss is that it slows its metabolic rate, and it slows its metabolic rate more than it would be proportionate to the weight you lose. So your body really goes into slow gear, and there is a couple of hormones that are secreted. For example, you have your thyroid hormones that go down, that account for the reduced basal metabolic rate and reduced energy expenditure. But one thing that goes up with fasting and with weight loss is a hormone that's called cortisol, and basically a starvation hormone. And cortisol increases, for example, the gluconeogenesis, so the more sugar gets into your bloodstream. But what cortisol also does is it induces proteolysis, which is basically a matter of the body to drain energy from your muscle and from your lean mass. And in order to balance the energy and to stop the weight loss, because if you look at it from an evolutionary perspective, weight loss, it means famine, means
right.
Red alert to the body.
Right.
And this has changed with our abundance of food. So we have this situation when we lose weight, and because of the sparing of the human body, it's very hard, first of all, for people to lose the weight, because they will just regain it. And then we have the problem of proteolysis. And this is, as you say, it's a very good natural way to preserve lean mass, because ingestion of proteins is also kind of an anabolic stimulus to the body. It's inducing IGF-1 and factors like that. And it's preserving the muscle mass, and it's basically putting a brake on the proteolysis, or the protein breakdown in the muscle, So that's an additional great feature of a high-protein diet in combination with weight loss.
That leads to my next question. Does protein quality play a role in any of the outcomes in the research that you reviewed? Because we know that high-quality proteins that have all of the essential amino acids and, importantly, requisite amounts of leucine, which stimulates mTOR, which you were referring to just now about the anabolic response of protein. Does it matter? Do we see different levels of the good things about high-protein diets occurring even in people who are eating, let's say, strictly plant-based, predominantly incomplete proteins?
So, yeah, I mean, you have your I think the readers, the listeners know that we have the 9 essential amino acids and the 11 non-essential amino acids, which makes the 20 amino acids of proteins. And basically the protein quality can be divided into proteins of the highest quality, which are animal-derived proteins derived from meat, like and fish or egg protein, milk protein, and these are followed by proteins from like soy proteins, for example, and these are followed by rice proteins, which are lowest in the hierarchy. And it seems that and then of course we have the those high quality animal proteins that all supply the body with a complete protein because they have all the indispensable amino acids that are required by the body. With regard to saturation, we basically see that proteins that are absorbed very quickly by the body, for example, whey protein or fast soy protein, they provoke the strongest hunger reduction compared to slow absorbing proteins. So basically, if you want to reduce your hunger, you should refer to proteins that are very quickly absorbed. But other than that, you can just stick to high quality protein sources that are of good quality and hopefully low in saturated fat and cholesterol. And those are also the there's a lot of animal proteins, for example, legumes, chickpeas, kidney beans. That or quinoa, for example, the superfood, which are essentially complete proteins because they include all the essential amino acids, but they are not high in fiber and not so high in saturated fat and cholesterol.
You know, that seems so counterintuitive that a fast protein would have a greater satiating effect because you would think that because it hits hard and it disappears, that the slower proteins would cause greater satiety, but I was not expecting that answer at all.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, normally because in proteins you have the same situation as with carbohydrates. In carbohydrates, it's called the glycemic index, which is basically a measure of how fast the sugar appears in your bloodstream and how fast it causes a counter reaction by insulin. And there is no term for protein, but it's basically essentially the same thing that if you have very quickly digestible proteins, they appear very fast in your bloodstream. And there is research that indicates that especially these whey proteins induce a stronger reduction in hunger than the slow-absorbing protein. But there is a lot of research that needs to be done in this area, especially with regard of the type of protein. There is, to be honest, there is not much research out there that has looked at types of protein and inducing satiety.
I think
so I've cited a few.
Dr. Pesta, I think that you and I should agree to create a new word called proteemic instead of glycemic. For the speed in which protein enters the bloodstream after ingesting it.
Protein, I like that very much. I will write that. I like that, and yeah, it's exactly the same thing basically. And we see that also with like for strength athletes that is very important for them. And if they take an overnight shake, they would, for example, always take casein shake, because the casein is the slow absorbing protein, right? And it's slowly released into the bloodstream, and it gives a long-term anabolic response because it stays in the plasma. And there is research that shows that the balance, the protein balance, or the nitrogen balance is more positive if you ingest the long digesting casein, because it's just absorbed very slowly and has a, with your terms, low proteemic index.
There you go, low proteemic index. So we're making history here today, Dr. Pesta. So this leads to the next discussion that I'm going to go ahead and kind of segue into. And that is, you know, some of the caveats about this. So if you eat a high protein diet, but in the face of a high carbohydrate, high glycemic index carbohydrate diet, it loses some of its value as far as helping you lose weight, right?
Yeah. So this is an interesting issue, and this is kind of a novel thing that I picked up on because. The situation we basically have, we all know that we have a lot of overweight people in the U.S. and all over the world, basically with obesity rates that are thriving, and so a lot of those obese people, of course, have an increased energy intake, which is too much for the body, and they store the energy as fat, and at the same time. They might, for example, if you're overweight, you might, of course, also go to the gym. Nothing wrong with that. But you might also intake supplements. And especially with those BCAAs, the branched-chain amino acids, I think that everyone knows, valine, leucine, isoleucine, they seem to have an interesting effect with the surplus of energy in the obese person. And what's happening is basically... if those BCAAs get degraded by the body, there is two molecules that are produced, propionyl-CoA and succinyl-CoA. They are simply a byproduct of the BCAA degradation. And those byproducts that interfere with the oxidation of fatty acids. So what happens is if you ingest both at the same time, and if you have too much of the two sides of those nutrients, you're interfering with a very important cycle in your body. It's called the TCA cycle, tricarboxylic acid cycle, which is essentially responsible for the oxidation of your fat that you have. And if you slow down this cycle by interfering with those BCAA degradation products, you get incompletely oxidized byproducts. And those incompletely oxidized byproducts can accumulate, and they can impair insulin action, for example, or impair mitochondrial function. The mitochondria are the powerhouses of your cell that basically help you to burn your substrates and your foodstuffs to produce the energy for the cells. So if you interfere at this section, that's pretty bad, and this can actually happen if you do have an intake of high fat and high BCAAs. So
you have to be careful what other macronutrients you're taking in a high protein diet, exactly, if you're expecting to lose weight. And I want to talk more about that when we come out the other side, because the reason that I was surprised to hear that a high proteemic index protein actually improves satiety is because there is some out there that would argue that, say, like a whey isolate, it clears the stomach and hits the bloodstream so quickly that it undergoes gluconeogenesis and increases blood sugar levels. So let's just pick up on that on the other side when we come back. We're talking right now with Dr. Dominic Pesta. We're talking about high-protein diets, the good, the bad, and the ugly, when we talk about how they affect weight loss. Stay tuned. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Everyone knows how important staying hydrated is for your health, but have you ever thought about what's in the water you're drinking? Truth is, it's not good. Stop second guessing and get the Clearly Filtered pitcher filter and drink with confidence, knowing that your water is pure. Clearly Filtered water filters eliminate dozens of harmful contaminants that can keep you from achieving optimal hydration and peak performance. Don't put up with mediocre water. You deserve better. Click the Superhuman Radio banner ad now and get an exclusive SHR package discount and free shipping.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad. Today, the brain plays the biggest role in strength and fatigue. The ergogenic effects of caffeine are a result of this fact. There's a new player that can give you greater confidence, clarity, and concentration that will translate to better performance in or out of the gym. Mindset from Haleo. Mindset was tested by the University of Tampa against caffeine and a placebo, and it outperformed them hands down. A stimulant-free pre-workout formula that's as effective as caffeine without the unwanted side effects. Get Mindset today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link in the Carl Recommends area. Mindset, the smart edge.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
At the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Dr. Jeff Gallini to talk about science for humans. We're going to revisit creatine. Right now, we're talking with Dr. Dominic Pesta about high-protein diets for weight loss. The good, the bad, and the ugly. What about this notion, Dr. Pesta, that these fast proteins, especially some of these really, really modified sources like whey isolate, they hit the bloodstream so quickly that they actually convert to glucose very quickly through gluconeogenesis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have these other effects of proteins on gluconeogenesis, basically the production of new glucose, as you say. And we have these effects especially with diets low in carbohydrates, because then, of course, the body needs the energy and certain molecules, including proteins, are converted to glucose. And what has been observed in rats, for example, that have been fed a high-protein diet, there is two enzymes basically in that pathway of producing glucose for the body. That's PepsiK and glucose 6-phosphatase. Those two enzymes, they were upregulated in rats that high-protein diet. And so we have this situation in the animal experiment that that suggested that gluconeogenesis is stimulated by this high-protein diet. And then we also have some indications from human diets where in healthy men we also saw that high-protein diet, when compared to a normal protein diet, induced increased gluconeogenesis. And I think what in this aspect was important, we have those amino acids, and one important amino acid for gluconeogenesis is alanine. And alanine goes to the liver and basically is converted into glucose. And as it hits the bloodstream as glucose, this is what gives the body the signal of increasing blood glucose levels. And increasing blood glucose levels are always a state of well-fed and high energy availability, and this is compared to low blood glucose levels, it's a state where you can say the hunger is reduced, so to say. And in, with this respect, the gluconeogenic response of proteins that you basically see in a high-protein diet gives the body, via the increased gluconeogenesis, gives the body a signal of well-fed, no problem, and decreasing hunger.
So that, so in other words, the gluconeogenesis is actually why a fast-acting protein provides greater satiety.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I would have lost that bet immediately. That's amazing. Now, there are those out there who believe that as long as they're eating a high protein diet, and I mean where, let's say, greater than 60 or 70% of their energy is coming from protein, that it doesn't matter how much protein they eat, they will not gain body fat. But that's a lie, correct?
Yeah, yeah. So that's true. I mean, essentially, normally the proteins that you don't need, they are oxidized. But on the other hand, they are also... They can be, just as any other metabolite, they can be stored as fat and processed into fat and be deposited as those fats. Especially when the energy balance is positive anyway, you have a high chance of your protein also being deposited as fat. So
the reason I asked this question at this juncture is because in order for a protein, an unoxidized protein, to be stored as fat, it has to undergo gluconeogenesis first, correct?
It makes the pathways interfere here, but basically it has to be converted into the glucose, and this is then not being oxidized if your energy balance is positive, and then you store it as glycogen or as fat. If your glycogen stores are full anyway, and a person that is sitting in the office all day long doesn't have low glycogen stores, so glycogen is full, and then it can be stored as fat, of course.
Does the satiating effects of our high protein diet is it work forever, or does it work for a while and then stop?
Yeah, we have, there is a lot of studies normally in the nature of scientific studies is that it's normally short term because, resources and things like that are scarce and also money, it needs money to do long term studies. In short term studies, we see this satiating effect, of course. And, with regard to long term studies, there's not really a lot out there. But what has been shown is that, of course, it depends on several factors. But what has been shown is that the high protein diets have the potential to lower blood lipids in the long term, and also to reduce the weight regain basically. Because the problem you have is if you do a short-term intervention and you lose and people lose weight, they regain the weight, because I just said that for several reasons the body is defending your body is defending the body weight, and people tend to regain their weight. But it has been shown that if you stay on a high protein diet, the chances of regaining your weight are decreased, and this is because of possibly decreased energy efficiency or increased leptin sensitivity. And leptin is this saturating hormone that's circulating through our body. And if the sensitivity is increased, this gives you an increased satiety. So this might, but the long-term effects, as I said, scientifically, there is not a lot out there, and it's more like 10, 12 weeks or half a year, things like that. But there's definitely things to catch up on the science side.
So from a standpoint of weight loss, a high-protein diet seems to be beneficial, at least for a moderate period of time, assuming that the person is not in a positive energy balance all the time, and assuming that the person is not eating high glycemic index carbohydrates in conjunction with their high-protein meal. So what I'd like to do now is I'd like to take a break, and when we come back, I'd like you to discuss what the upper limits of a high-protein diet are, and what percentage of energy intake or grams per kilo of body weight seem to be where the sweet spot is. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take one quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with Dr. Dominic Pesta. Stay tuned.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's ultimate stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception. Because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com. Enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system.
No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Do you want freakish muscle gains? Freakmaker Build from AAEFX is a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines Protolan, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, free alkaline, and medium-chain triglycerides. A 2-to-1 carb-to-protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freakmaker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores, and 1.5 grams of Cre-alkaline pH-buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freakmaker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
You create misery, have your cake.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Dominic Pesta, all the way from Innsbruck, Austria. But he was trained at Yale here in the United States. That's correct, right, Dr. Pesta?
Yeah.
Do you miss the United States at all?
I do. I was expecting a lot of snowfall at the East Coast. I was following the news. Because we had that last year, and I was curious, but I think the East Coast wasn't hit that hard a few days ago. So, but I do miss it. Yeah, it was a good time there.
So, what are the upper limits of the high protein diets that you studied or that you reviewed in these studies? As both a, let's say a gram per kilogram of body weight, but also as a percentage of energy intake.
So basically, I think we have to delineate here between the performance needs of athletes. Of course, there's a different story, but we're talking here about protein needs for weight loss, which is a different story. And basically, we have those 0.8 grams per kilo per day as the minimum requirement of protein. This equals approximately 50 grams of protein per day. And this is just enough to supply the average Joe basically with protein. But it's not considered high protein, as I just said. And on the other hand, we have, of course, intakes, of like bodybuilders, anecdotal intakes of 8 to 9 grams per kilo, per day, which almost equals a kilogram or basically 2 pounds of protein for a 100 kilo athlete. So this is insane. But what we are talking about here is a diet high in protein that's still compatible with your kidney function. That's what we just touched on. And if we look at those popular diets like the Atkins diet, South Beach diet, Stillman diet, or Stone diet, those are all high in protein, basically, and low in carbohydrate or fat. And those diets range in their amount of 2 to 3, maximum of 4 grams per kilogram per day, both of protein. And if we look at the U.S. Recommendation, USDA recommendation of protein, which equals 10 to 35% of the total energy that should come from protein, those diets are all on the upper limit of those of this recommendation. For example, Atkins is 35%. Protein South Beach diet is 39%. The Stillman diet even is 64%, and the Stone diet with 34%. So I think if you consider the 2 to 3 grams per kilogram per day of protein, or like 30 to 40 percent of your daily total energy that's coming from protein, you're on the safe side, and you will profit from the advantages of a high protein diet without increasing, for example, the acid load too much of the kidneys or putting too much strain on your filtration rate in order to get rid of the urea. That's what we just talked about.
When you did this review, you obviously had some specific things that you were looking for.
Was there anything mm-hmm. that jumped out at you that surprised you that you didn't, you really was surprised by?
Yeah, I mean, especially like the story that I just touched on with the fat and BCAAs that can actually exacerbate, for example, diabetes complications or something uh-huh. like that. I was very intrigued by that because a lot of people have this situation that they are overweight and might be excessively maybe supplementing with BCAAs. So this is kind of a concern that I was interested in. And then I liked the idea of the acid load that the proteins induce on your kidney, and I want to quickly touch on that. So basically your amino acids, they contain a lot of acids.
Sure.
And this might put an acid load on the kidneys. And in order to counterbalance these acid loads, it's recommended that you consume a lot of base-containing nutrients. And this is, for example, vegetables or alkaline foods. So it's very much recommended that you combine your chicken fillet with some very good vegetables in order to balance the acid load on the kidney, and your kidney will thank it to you if you consider that.
You know, I always thought that fats would also mitigate some of the pH change from a high protein diet until I realized that fats are break down to fatty acids, and there's that acids mm-hmm. again. So I guess what about so. Any opinion, the ketogenic diet is quickly becoming popular, both from a performance standpoint as well as from a therapeutic standpoint. There's lots of good science out there that a ketogenic diet for individuals who are suffering from cancer, either who have undergone chemotherapy and this is an adjunct therapy, or in and of itself seems to have some protective benefits and maybe even some therapeutic benefits in treating cancers. But it seems that this would be a very high acid load diet if you're eating nothing but proteins and fats. Mm-hmm. The ratios for a true ketogenic diet is between 3 and 5 grams of fat to a combined 1 gram of carbohydrates and protein, because you don't want to accidentally spark gluconeogenesis, obviously. What would you say about mm-hmm. the acid load of that type of a diet?
I'm not an expert on. I mean, I know that I'm not an expert on the acid load of the ketogenic diet, and I would think, of course, we know that ketoacidosis can occur in diabetics, and this is a very serious threat to health. But I would say that it poses an acid load, and you would definitely need to balance it, because if you don't balance it and your body experiences a high acid load, it just takes the calcium out of the bones to
right.
balance it.
Right.
For example, I don't know the evidence for ketogenic diet. I would have to follow up on that. But especially for cancerous situations and things like that, the glucose is just the major culprit, because it's fueling the tumors basically, and
right.
and by inducing the ketogenesis, you're basically starving out those tumor cells, and so I would definitely say the benefits in this respect outweigh the potential problems that you might experience with an acid load. But I think it's important to keep in mind that those things induce an acid load to the body, and you need to buffer that. And veggies are the number one health-inducing things anyway. You can eat, so it's very good to combine those with your diet anyway.
You know, the discussion just last week on Science for Humans was how to help produce a more alkaline environment in the presence of a high protein diet. And one of the things that Dr. Galini talked about was the simplicity of just adding fresh lemon juice to your water that you drink, especially if you're drinking a gallon of water a day, like most of the people in the audience, including myself, are, that just by adding mm-hmm. fresh lemon, the juice of one or two lemons to your water can have an alkalizing effect. So these are all good things to think about if you are eating a high-protein diet. You cannot ignore the acid load of the body because highly acidic environments have been linked to the development of certain types of cancers.
Yeah, yeah. And also kidney stone formation may be an issue if you have a high load of acids. So, I mean, as I said, in a physiological range we are talking about, and if you have a healthy kidney, it shouldn't be a problem. But, you know, if you do that long term and if you're conscious about your health, it's a good idea to always, you know, there's always a yin and a yang, and you should balance your things that you do. And
Adele Musa, who is a friend of the show, and he happens to live in Munster, Germany, is listening right now, and he just posted on my wall, worried about acid load with protein, take bicarbonate or potassium citrate. And he has has a study that points to six women ages 38 to 62 who participated in a 40-day metabolic study to investigate the effects of levels of protein intake and sodium bicarbonate ingestion on urinary calcium, net calcium balance, net renal acid excretion, and so on. So there's an easy solution. Take some sodium bicarbonate or potassium citrate if you're worried about a highly acidic environment and you don't want to change what you're eating.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can always use supplements like bicarb, of course. But you can also take advantage of Mother Nature and use veggies and fruits. But of course, bicarbonate, yeah, it's a good idea.
Very, very good discussion. And I appreciate you taking time to be on the show today.
Thank you very much for the invitation to having me. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you. Take care, Dr. Pesta.
Bye bye, Carla. Thank you.
Bye. All right. So there you have it. Great discussion. Always worth hearing more about high-protein diets. We're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. Jeff Galini as we revisit creatine. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. Hey, Adele Moose is listening today. How do you like that one?
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get two bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Everyone knows how important staying hydrated is for your health, but have you ever thought about what's in the water you're drinking? Truth is, it's not good. Stop second guessing and get the clearly filtered pitcher filter and drink with confidence knowing that your water is pure. Clearly filtered water filters eliminate dozens of harmful contaminants that can keep you from achieving optimal hydration and peak performance. Don't put up with mediocre water. You deserve better. Click the Superhuman Radio banner ad now and get an exclusive SHR package discount and free shipping.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
This is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
And there's his intro music, folks. Dr. Jeff Galini. How you doing, Dr. Jeff?
I'm doing good. How about you today, Carl?
Fantastic, fantastic. So, you know, this is really a good topic because I think creatine has been around for so long, many of us take it for granted. And there's lots of new people coming into the fold of physical culture that just are hearing things about creatine secondhand. And when you look at creatine, over the years, it's been maligned. It's been called an anabolic steroid. It's been banned by, college and high school sport authorities. And it's really a very, very misunderstood, ergogenic aid. So let's talk about this. First of all, when did creatine really come on the scene, Dr. Jeff?
You know, it was first discovered back in the 1800s, but it wasn't until about 1970 that some of the Olympic athletes started using it. But when you first really saw it in the American scene was when I brought it to market in the late 80s, early 90s as creatine monohydrate.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that you introduced it here.
That was me. I was even working back then, huh?
I know. Wait a minute. How you don't have a painting of yourself in the closet? You're not Dorian Gray, right?
No.
All right. So creatine monohydrate hits the scene. First of all, what is creatine? Before we talk about the various delivery methods, what exactly is? Is it an amino acid?
You know, I think that's the best place to start is, you know, what is creatine? Because a lot of people, as you said, probably have heard things positive or negative about it. But creatine is a non-protein amino acid molecule. And you got to remember that it's very, very important in the role of cellular energy regulation and is intimately interconnected with life's entire process. And it's based on an extremely complex biochemistry of metabolic supply and cellular energies. I like to call it a biofuel or an high-energy facilitator. And as a matter of fact, if the body is suddenly divested of all creatine, life would cease. So it's one of those compounds that's so important that our bodies will actually manufacture it because we need it to live. So pretty important stuff.
But it's not one of the essential amino acids. It's manufactured by, I want to say, methionine and something else, right?
Yeah, it's actually synthesized kidneys, livers, and pancreas, and your body will use arginine, glycine, and methionine.
Okay.
And very, very complex process that the body goes through to turn that into a usable form of creatine.
Okay, so is that called the creatine kinase cycle? No, right? That's not it.
It is, yeah. That's exactly it.
Okay. Okay. So is it considered a conditional or an conditional amino acid? Or is it considered a short chain protein because it's three amino acids bonded together?
You know, it's It's really kind of in between. You know, it's a non-protein, yet it is an amino acid molecule, so it's kind of its own category.
Okay.
You know, it's
okay.
Also known as methylguanidine acetic acid, so it is kind of part of that amino acid family without being an essential or a non-essential amino, although it's extremely essential.
Now, we take creatine for granted here in the United States because it's available over-the-counter, but there are countries that creatine is actually by prescription and usually for people who have congestive heart failure. Isn't that right?
Oh, correct. Yeah. I mean, it has been used in the medical industry. It's the backbone of, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of studies for all types of different medical conditions. So it is important.
Is there anything that we see as an ergogenic aid today that has been as well researched, any other supplement as well researched as creatine has been?
No, creatine is by far the most researched product of all time. Literally thousands of studies done all over the world, not only on, you know, what we'll talk about later, a creatine monohydrate, but also on the fact, you know, where does creatine come from? You know, keep in mind that before we were able to synthesize it, you know, scientists found that this creatine was also present in meats. So in the old days, people would try to eat more meat. So any type of animal protein contains pure creatine. Just some facts: about 2 to 3 pounds of raw red meat contains 5 grams of pure creatine. Now you're probably thinking, well, why can't you just eat red meat or fish to get my creatine sources? And the problem is that's raw. By cooking, you will actually degrade or convert that creatine to creatinine. So people who like the barbecue and like their meat well done, sorry, you're killing all the creatine. So it's best to actually eat it medium and cook it over a slow flame to keep most of that creatine intact.
In fact, I think that and I stand to be corrected, but way back when creatine, when I first started learning about creatine, I found that pork, followed by tuna, followed by beef, in that order, are the highest concentrations of creatine per ounce of animal flesh. And of those three, the one that you can eat raw, if you go to a sushi bar, obviously is tuna. So
correct.
if you want to get some creatine from your diet, raw tuna probably would be the best bet, but of sushi grade. So how do they synthesize creatine monohydrate? I never really gave that a lot of thought. How do they produce the raw powder now that we know how to synthesize it?
Well, there's two ways. You know, one way didn't work out well. You could extract the creatine from raw meat, but very expensive, very time-consuming. And then you still have to get it into the correct form. So what was discovered back in the late 1800s, and I think it was a French scientist, a very, very interesting synthesis process where here's how you make creatine, folks. You need a reactor. Mm-hmm. You're going to need a couple of intermediates, sarcosine and cyanamide, which are just intermediates. And in that reactor vessel with water, you will put some catalyst. And similar to the old experiments of adding vinegar to baking soda, you got a bubbling effect. You actually were causing a chemical reaction. Well, that's what happens in the reactor. And crystals will precipitate, and those crystals are actually called creatine monohydrate. So during this process, this creatine has picked up a water molecule, which gives us the monohydrate. And from there, a little bit of purification, a little bit of washing, a little bit of drying, and you got what you see on the shelf, that nice white powdery creatine monohydrate.
Okay, now we're going to get into the different forms of creatine and what they do differently. But before we get into that, obviously, as you pointed out, life does not exist. Human life will not go on without creatine being produced in the body. And obviously, supplementation now gives us a unique opportunity. But with that being said, is there something that could cause someone not to produce creatine, i.e. just aging?
No, you know, I think we got to look at, you know, next, what does creatine do? You know, we've kind of established that it's important, that life needs it. But even before we talk about that, I think, again, you know, telling people what it does, any type of short burst of energy, whether you're a runner or a lifter, you know, requires ATP. So where does ATP come from? Well, the first 5 to 10 seconds comes from glycogen. You can go ahead and eat your carbohydrates and sugars and what have you, but that's burned up very quickly. What people may not realize is that creatine is actually involved in that whole ATP cycle, so that your body constantly wants to replenish those stores so you can continue on. So getting to where you said, yes, you know, the older we get, injuries and what have you, where our body is not working properly, our whole energy cycle isn't in sync, you know, there could be a way for, you know, our body to produce less. Healthy adult humans typically produce about 2 grams, I believe that's per day.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially that's enough to kind of keep that energy going. But we're not talking about healthy adults when we talk about creatine monohydrate. We're normally talking about athletes who require more from their bodies.
Now, I want to go ahead and take an early break, and here's why. I want to come back and I want to talk about the various types of creatine out there and what they do differently, because there's a lot of confusion. I remember, and we'll even talk about this, when creatine first hit the streets, there were companies trying to make liquid creatine, and it was going bad in the bottle. So let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, let's talk about the various forms of creatine. How's that sound, Dr. Jeff?
That sounds good.
Okay. Stay tuned. You're listening to Science for Humans. We're revisiting creatine. It's very important. If you're not taking creatine, you're missing out on some amazing opportunities to build strength and muscle. And as we're going to get into, there's really very, very little proven negative side effects to creatine. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Freakish muscle gains, Freak Maker Build from AAEFX. It's a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines protolan, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, free alkaline and medium chain triglycerides, a 2-to-1 carb to protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freak Maker Build delivers 58 grams of fast absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of free alkaline pH buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freak Maker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
You've already heard the hundreds of testimonials about how well the AgeForce Fat Burner Patch works. Now it's even better. AgeForce has added the powerful appetite suppressor, Hoodia. So now, while your body's in high gear burning fat, you'll have an easier time sticking to your diet. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce banner ad today to get a buy one, get one free for a limited time. What do you have to lose other than body fat?
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Later in the show, we're going to be joined by Dr. J. Pedro Magalhães to talk about the bowhead whale, which lives over 200 years. Can we learn anything from its genes that could improve human longevity? We're going to get into that later. Right now, we're talking to Dr. Jeff Gallini. This is Science for Humans. We're talking about creatine. Many of you think you know about it. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Compare your notes as we go on. So, Dr. Jeff, what are the various forms of creatine that have evolved over the years, and why has it been necessary? Why not just creatine monohydrate?
Well, again, keep in mind, creatine monohydrate was the first form that was invented, and even to this day, creatine monohydrate is the gold standard. Essentially, it's the only form that the body can actually accept and convert into that creatine phosphate, which is all part of that creatine kinase cycle. Mm-hmm. So it is the only, we told you how to make it. The problem is creatine monohydrate has a flaw. It's not stable in an aqueous solution. So hence, this is where some of the groundbreaking research has taken place over the last decade and a half. Remember, I've been involved with this for about 25 years, so I have seen and been involved with most of it. I think one of the most exciting things was, again, what I discovered was that this conversion was dependent upon pH. So we've all been told to take our creatine monohydrate and put it into fruit juice. Well, the lower the pH, the quicker that conversion to creatinine, which we're going to talk about next week, is a bio-waste. We're talking about biofuels this week. So by buffering that led to a U.S. patent, which is called Crealclin. So Crealclin is the only stable form of creatine monohydrate. So essentially it's a buffered creatine monohydrate, which means it's stable in solution. Don't have that conversion to creatinine. Since then, Carl, I mean, there have been just tons of new creatines. That's one of the problems I think sometimes in the industry is everybody is trying to improve on something. You remember the old beta discs that went from VHS while they were working on the CDs? Well, that's kind of the creatine. There are other forms that have kind of come and gone. Creatine ethyl ester kind of hit the marketplace with a lot of hype, but the problem is there was no research, and what little research was disproved later on.
So really, the reason for all of these different variations of creatine, it was to improve bioavailability, to improve the amount that you get in your gut to actually show up in your bloodstream. But that is a function of the acidity of the gut, right?
Well, and actually most of these new forms of creatines claim the fame are that they dissolve better in water. Who cares? I mean, creatine is water soluble at about 25 milligrams per milliliter. You don't take, you know, 30 grams. So what does it matter that 30 grams mixes into water? The ones that have claimed better bioavailability, again, there hasn't been any research. You know, creatine monohydrate, as we said, is the most researched. You can go find the bioavailability, you know, what it does, how much you need. you know, the only thing is the side effect or the conversion parsis. But the rest of them really haven't had any science behind them, or minimal unsubstantiated type, I would call it hype or marketing,
right,
versus research, you know?
Right, right.
When you take traditional creatine monohydrate, they recommend that you load for the first 5 days. You take 20 grams a day for the first 5 days, and then a maintenance dose is 5 grams a day, and some people believe 10 grams a day. They're on going forward. Why does creatine cause, when you load with creatine, why does creatine pull fluid into the muscle?
That's kind of part of the process, but you really got to look at the fact that some of that creatine is being converted to creatinine, you know, because that process is instantaneous. So the minute that creatine hits an aqueous solution, so if you're going to mix it in water, juice, protein drink, that conversion takes place. And every scientist in the world can admit to that. We just don't all agree on the actual conversion time because it's dependent upon concentration, heat, what form. But a lot of that is the fact that, you know, that's part of the process, but you've also got this creatinine that you're now drinking, and your body's defense to any type of toxin is to flush it out. So, you know, being that's a waste that comes out after creatine is spent, your body doesn't want to take that in. So sometimes when you get the stomach bloating, the cramping, it isn't from the creatine. It's actually from the creatinine.
So I'm thinking through this. So, and we're going to address this on the next episode of Science for Humans, because it's not, there is some good, there is some bad, and there is some ugly about creatine that you need to know about. But with that being said, you don't have to load with creatine, right? You can still get the benefits without going through the loading phase.
You can. And Carl, you know, again, part of this radio show is just speaking the truth. You know, that was kind of a marketing ploy. Back in the day, you know, a bottle of creatine monohydrate, 100 grams, sold for $100 a bottle. And we decided, well, geez, it wasn't me, but we as a team, if we can get people to load and take 20 grams for the first week, they'd go through a bottle in a week and essentially need two or three bottles a month. But I think now that it's been out there and we know how this works in the body, you don't need to take in a whole bunch because your body can't use that. Your body can only store, you know, so much at one time of that readily to use energy. The rest of it, you're going to excrete it out or, you know, again, convert it to creatinine and, you know, potentially overload kidneys. So my recommendation is, you know, use small amounts. You know, it will build up eventually. It's better for the consistency that you use it every day and not the time of day or how much you take.
Now, creatine at night may stimulate people. In fact, the military, the U.S. military, has done studies with soldiers who worked overnight with and without a dose of creatine. And the ones who took creatine saw better cognitive and performance abilities with less sleep, which leads me to, I know there was some research, good research, on two things, both creatine supplementation in Alzheimer's disease and creatine supplementation in resolving a stroke. In fact, when my mother had her stroke when she was alive, I got her neurologist to approve me to give her 5 grams of creatine a day in a protein shake. And she recovered much faster. So creatine can also wake up the brain, so to speak. It probably shouldn't be taken too close to bedtime. Would you agree with that?
I do. And, you know, again, because we are replenishing ATP, you know, the brain is a muscle and needs to be replenished. It needs to be fueled. So, yes, there is so much positive on what it does, not only for that, but different types of muscular disorders, you know, things where people are just not producing enough or they have some injury, you know, to some muscle. I've seen it help people recover, you know, from surgeries, from accidents, all type of things.
Are there any other surprising things about creatine that people wouldn't normally be aware of if they're coming from a performance standpoint that you think are worthy of discussing?
You know, I think real quickly, people have heard over the years that, you know, creatine, if you take it, you're going to look like Ronnie Coleman, you know, Mr. Olympia, if you don't know who he is, 300 pounds of muscle. Creatine doesn't do that type of stuff. And I've also heard, you know, women say, oh, women can't take creatine. But creatine is for everybody. It's not just for athletes. All of us need more energy. So even if you're in your 60s or 70s and you enjoy a good walk, you know, creatine is beneficial for you. You know, it's going to help you with your energy. It's going to help you recuperate and recover. You know, if you're a business guy, your brain is just, you know, going nonstop. And again, you're using fuel. People who do public speaking, singing, you know, anything, creatine is all beneficial. So I guess the best thing is I would throw out anything you'd ever heard negative about it and, you know, really check those sources. You know, it is really good and it is the most researched and it is safe. You know, if used properly, it's not for young kids. You know, usually I recommend it, you know, when they get around that 16, 17 range, you know, right, if monitored correctly, you know.
Well, here's something that I found out about creatine that I think is worth noting. For those of us who are getting up in age, you know, I'm 56 years old, I'll be 57 this year. Homocysteine is an independent marker of heart disease. It's an inflammatory marker that seems to have a direct effect on atherosclerosis and other cardiovascular issues. And homocysteine is produced as a result of the creatine kinase cycle. In fact, three good studies that I read show that this may be the protective effect that women see, that they don't have the heart disease level as men when they're young, because men produce so much more creatine than women. Well, supplementing with creatine means your body doesn't have to produce the creatine, which means you don't have the levels of homocysteine, which means that your heart will thank you. And that's and that's one of the most profound reasons that I continue to take creatine today, day in and day out. And I've been taking it for, I don't know, 17 years now. I don't know. I mean, it's been so long, I don't even remember.
And I think you got to also remember that your body can use about 1.5 grams every 3 to 4 hours. So when you take a dose of supplemental creatine, it isn't like it's toxic. It's going to build up. You burn that up. So people can actually, you know, refuel every 4 hours. You know, it's kind of take what you can afford, so to say, depending on, you know, what you're trying to accomplish. And, you know, mixed in with a healthy diet, you're going to have all the benefits of creatine.
And I owe this next comment to Adele Musa. This is really towards the women, because women are afraid of creatine because they hear that it may cause bloating and water retention. And as Adele points out, the bloat is most likely a result of overdosing on the creatine and adding tons of high glycemic index carbohydrates, which you don't have to do when you're taking a product like Crealkaline, because it's just capsules of it.
Yeah, and that's one of the beauties of that, you know, being the stability. We've put it in the capsule, so we've made it so easy. You don't need to drink a gallon of water. Again, like all these things that have arose over the years.
Brotelligence.
Yeah.
Right.
So you don't need to worry about that, women. I've never seen anyone hold water where they're just over bloaty. As Carl said, there's usually another source to that. Or you had some Chinese food with a whole lot of sodium.
There you go. Okay, so next week we're going to talk about the bad and the ugly of creatine, because there are some caveats that people should be aware of. And that'll be on the next episode of Science for Humans. Thanks so much today, Dr. Jeff.
Thank you, and have a good week.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon. All right, we're going to take one quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the bowhead whale. Is there a secret in the bowhead whale's genes that can help us live beyond 200 years of age? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now, you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Pro Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. The bowhead whale lives over 200 years. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they could teach us how to do that? Unfortunately, I have a feeling it has something to do with eating a lot of plankton, so we're going to find out in a second. My next guest is Dr. J. Pedro Magalhães. How you doing, Dr. Magalhães?
Oh, hi. I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. You know, I have to make a confession. I've actually had this thought, but not about whales, about trees. I remember being in the woods in the forest a while back and looking at a tree that was clearly a couple hundred years old. And I thought, what could we learn from trees? That, you know, obviously that's very, very
far-fetched. And then Elisa found this story, and I thought, wow, this is really interesting. So bowhead whales live to be 200-plus years old. Is that even in today's environment with pollution and all the other problems, or has that just been their mean lifespan over as long as we've known about them?
So the 200-year-old whale, I think, was caught relatively recent, that is, within the last 10, 15 years. I think so. The paper, I think, was published in 1999. No, of course, if it was, you know, over 200 years, it was born, you know, over 200 years ago. So it's been around for a while. But you are right that it has survived whaling in previous centuries, and it has survived changes to its environment in more recent decades. But it goes back quite a long time, if indeed it is over 200 years of age.
That's, and now, is that the longest? Okay, I'm going to be a real idiot here. What genus is the whale? Is that considered a mammal? No, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So whales are mammals.
Okay.
Just like us.
Okay, and that's why I think it's really interesting. Are there any other mammals that live as long or longer than the bowhead whale?
Not as far as we know. Obviously, there are a lot of species out there that have not been studied in great detail, and particularly cetaceans, we don't know a lot about them. But as far as we know now, the bowhead whale is the longest-lived mammal, and possibly the longest-lived vertebrate as well.
So, do we know anything else about this whale that now that we found a 200-year-old one, we look back and go, oh, wow, this may be why? Do we know anything about their genetics, anything about their physiology that would cause us to go, oh, maybe that's what contributes to their age? For instance, do they, you know, I know that the sloths and animals that move slow and humans even that have very, very low thyroid hormone tend to be longer lived than those who produce a lot of oxidative stress and so on and so forth. Do we know anything about this whale that makes one go, this may be the reason they live so long?
Well, we're starting to learn about them. I would say, I mean, as you imagine, it's not easy to study whales. It's not like an animal you can keep as a pet or even in the lab.
Yeah.
So there are practical reasons for why we haven't studied these amazing animals as well as other mammalian species. We do know, I mean, there are, for example, to put things in context, there's this one particular specimen which was estimated. I mean, as you imagine, you know, whales don't have ID cards or go to birthday parties. So in order to determine their age, what our collaborators in Alaska did was they employed a biochemical assay, an indirect method, to estimate their age. But there's been other lines of evidence to suggest these animals are long-lived. For example, there's been artifacts, you know, like from the times of whaling, harpoons that have been found in animals caught in recent years,
right,
that dated 100 years more. So that indicates, put together, that indicates that these animals live longer than human beings. Now, as why they live so long, that's what we're trying to discover now. I guess at the physiological level, they seem to have a lower body temperature than us, for instance, and there is some correlations that we know between lower body temperature and longer lifespan.
Is that due to energy expenditure and energy expenditure's ability to be thermogenic?
I don't think we know exactly why it happened. I mean, they obviously lived in Arctic and subarctic waters, which are very cold. So it could be just a mechanism to conserve energy, not to spend. So if the temperature is lower, they don't have to spend as much energy
warming themselves up. Right.
Higher, right?
Right.
So I mean, but that's speculative. We don't know for sure. I think that makes some sense. I think it's a reasonable hypothesis. We don't know for sure, but they appear to have not a huge amount, but a couple of degrees lower than human beings, which could be a factor. And then at the genetic level, I mean, what we've been doing is, as we sequence the genome of these animals, is trying to identify candidate genes that are responsible or could be responsible for the longevity of the bowhead whale. And what we found so far is a few candidate genes that appear to have unique changes in the bowhead whale when compared to other cetaceans and other mammals. Now, as you imagine, again, we cannot do experiments directly in bowhead whales. So in mice, for instance, you can take a mouse and you can disrupt a given gene and see if there's an effect on lifespan.
Right.
We can't do that in whales, of course. So we cannot conclusively prove that these genes are responsible for the longevity of the bowhead whale. However, what we can do, or we would like to do now, is we can take some of the genes from the bowhead whale and we can study them in other systems. For instance, in cell lines, we can study them in cell lines. Ideally, we're trying to get funding for this, is to study them in mice. So take a gene from the bowhead whale, put it in mice, and see if this mouse lives longer.
Right.
This mouse is protected from cancer. So that's the sort of experiments that are doable to try to follow up on the genes we identified thus far.
What about telomeres? Telomeres are all the rage now within the anti-aging community. Telomere length, they say, is indicative of lifespan and healthy aging. Do we know anything about these whales and their telomeres?
We do. This is not my work. I haven't checked the telomeres of these whales, but other people have. And whales tend to have relatively short telomeres.
So there goes that theory.
Well, okay. we know humans have short telomeres compared to other primates. So
right.
the correlation, when you look across, species, big animals, by and large, so big mammals, like elephants, whales, humans, we are relatively big as primates go, we tend to have short telomeres.
Mm-hmm.
So big, long-lived animals tend to have short telomeres. While, on the other hand, small, short-lived animals, like mice, they tend to have long telomeres and high levels of telomerase. And my interpretation, and I think most people's interpretation, is that telomeres are an anti-cancer mechanism. And when you are a big animal, that is going to live a long time, you need to keep your cell proliferation in check.
Right.
In a much tighter control than if you're a short-lived animal. So if you're a mouse that's going to live 1 year, you know, having some hyperproliferating cells is not a big deal.
Right.
But if you're a human being who's going to live 70 or 80 or 100 years, or a bowhead whale is going to live 100 or 200 years, cancer is a big concern. So your telomeres are shortened to begin with, in my opinion, as an anti-cancer mechanism.
And the other thing I think is, after I asked the question, I thought that was a silly question, because what we've learned is it's not the length of the telomere, but how quickly it erodes or shortens over the course of an individual species' mm-hmm. life that determines its longevity or may have an effect on longevity. So I want to take a commercial break. And I want to come back and I want to ask you if we know anything about their mitochondria that may elucidate some sort of reason that they seem to live longer. We're talking right now with Dr. J. Pedro Magalhães. We're talking about the bowhead whale, which lives 200 plus years. And what can we learn from them? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
One-two punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. on. Go to questapparel.com. Enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
The brain plays the biggest role in strength and fatigue. The ergogenic effects of caffeine are a result of this fact. There's a new player that can give you greater confidence, clarity, and concentration that will translate to better performance in or out of the gym. Mindset from Haleo. Mindset was tested by the University of Tampa against caffeine and a placebo, and it outperformed them hands down. A stimulant-free pre-workout formula that's as effective as caffeine without the unwanted side effects. Get Mindset today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link in the Carl Recommends area. Mindset, the smart edge. Do you want freakish muscle gains? Freak Maker Build from AAEFX is a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines Protolan, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, free alkaline, and medium-chain triglycerides. A 2-to-1 carb-to-protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freakmaker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of Cre-alkaline pH-buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freakmaker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Just because your water is clear doesn't mean it's pure. You can't see the most harmful things in your water. Tap, bottle, it's all the same. Plasticizer, chlorine, fluoride. Today's water is horrible. The clearly filtered water bottle will purify up to 100 gallons of tap, bottle, river, or stream water, and it removes chlorine, fluoride, other harmful chemicals and bacteria while saving you a load of money. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the clearly filtered banner ad and save 5% plus free shipping inside the USA.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. J. Pedro Magalhães. We're talking about the bowhead whale, which lives to 200-plus years, and what we can learn, if anything, at this point in time. We're just learning about this, and but there's some interesting discussions to be had. What about the mitochondria of this whale? Is any similarities in human mitochondria, any differences, anything we know about it?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't think anyone has looked into it. I think there's a study looking into the mitochondrial genome, and I don't think it looks very different from the others. But I guess that's a good point. We haven't looked into the mitochondria of them. I don't think nobody has.
I'm thinking of Aubrey de Grey's paper, the mitochondrial theory of aging. You know, and his assertion is that, you know, less efficient mitochondria produce more free radicals and oxidative stress, and you age faster. And maybe they have really efficient mitochondria. You know, when you think about their breath rate, you know, how they can take one breath and submerge for I forget how long they can stay underwater. That, you know, speaks to some sort of metabolic efficiency to some degree, I would imagine. So it would be interesting to find out about how their mitochondria functions differently.
Well, definitely. I think the thing we have looked a little bit into, also from the genetic side, is into genes involving thermoregulation. Because, you know, these large animals, basically because they're so massive, their power output per cell must be way lower than that of other smaller mammals.
Right.
And we did find some genes that could also be related to differences in thermoregulations in the Bowhead Whale.
You know, the other thing that we cannot discount, and this doesn't mean this directly plays a role in their longevity, but it needs to be considered at least, is their diet. And I don't mean what they eat as much as perhaps how what they eat has not changed over their existence. So we know that our diets as humans have changed, and we are mismatched for both our diet and our environment. It's causing chronic disease. And even some other wild animals, when placed in a captive environment like a zoo, develop human-like chronic diseases when fed chows and artificial diets produced by manufacturers as opposed to what they eat in the wild. And so I wonder if part of the contribution of their longevity is that, by and large, their habitat, while it's been somewhat soiled, since they typically live pretty deep in the oceans, right? I mean, they come up to breathe, I know, and to play, but don't they spend most of their time way down deep?
They can drive. Well, I'm not sure how what percentage of their time they spend in the deep and on the surface. Yes, it's true that they dive quite a lot, and you are right that their diet is, I mean, what you would say, natural, let's say. And
yes.
You make the good point that our diet, our human diet nowadays, it's very artificial, and a lot of it is bad for us. I mean, I would say that does have an impact. I'm not sure how big of an impact it does. So, for instance, I mean, you can take mice and rats, and you can give them a very healthy diet, and they will live a little bit longer. I mean, for instance, you put it on caloric restriction, which is reducing the amount of calories without malnutrition, which
right.
We know extends lifespan. I mean, that extends lifespan, I mean, varies according to strains, but up to 50%. But, you know, up to 50% in a mouse is still a mouse living 4 years, 4.5 years.
Right.
Which is very good for a mouse, but it's still way, way shorter lifespan than a human being and way, way shorter than a bowhead whale.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, yes, you know, diet does...
But it's relative. It's relative to the potential length of the lifespan to begin with. So it's a number that's relative to that length. So I get what you're saying. So
sure.
What was there anything that you did learn that surprised you, that made you go, huh, this is interesting? With what little we do understand, and obviously this is just we're just embarking on this discussion. Was there anything that really made you go, aha, wow, look at that?
Well, I think the most interesting results were regarding genes that we know are related to cell cycle regulation, so the way cell divides and how tightly this is controlled, and also how cells respond to DNA damage. So there were some genes in those lines that looked really interesting in terms of the adaptations they seem to have in the bowhead whale. And, of course, because whales also appear to be protected from cancer in the sense that these are massive animals. And if you think about cancer emerging from a one rogue cell, you know, these massive animals should have lots of cancer, in which case they wouldn't live so long. But, of course, they do, so they must have anti-cancer mechanisms that we don't have. So in that, from that context, I thought it was quite interesting that we were finding genes related to cell cycle proliferation and DNA damage responses, which we don't know for sure whether they're related to longevity bowhead whale, but do point out towards particular mechanisms that could be important. I mean, one thing I would emphasize that did surprise me a little bit was that actually, so the bowhead whale genome, we did find these genes with subtle changes in the bowhead whale, but the bowhead whale genome is actually not very different from the genome of other closely related species, like much shorter-lived species, like other cetaceans, like dolphins and minke whale. So it's not a radically different genome. A little bit like human and chimpanzee genomes are not very different, even though we are very different from chimpanzees.
Right.
Right, if you look at us. So, I mean, what it tells me is that it doesn't take massive genetic changes to make bowhead whales different and live longer than other whales. It doesn't take massive genetic changes to make human beings live longer than chimpanzees and age slower than chimpanzees. But on one hand, It means it's trickier to find these subtle changes that are important, but on the other hand, it also means that if we can figure out what these subtle changes are, then, you know, trying to ultimately develop therapies for age-related diseases will be easier, because we're not talking about massive genomic changes. We're talking probably about a relatively small number of changes.
In past shows that we've done on human evolution, I vaguely recall a discussion about pro-inflammatory genetics, that there are some people whose genetic predisposition is to produce a massive inflammatory response to any kind of insult whatsoever, and there are others who seem not to. I forget what the allele was that was related to this, but I remember this discussion distinctly, and we know that these individuals who tend to, let's say, line up on the side of greater inflammatory response than those that don't, they tend to have a greater response to the Western diet and environmental effects that stimulate inflammation, and ergo develop diseases faster and even cancers faster. I wonder if the bowhead whale is a mammal that leans towards a pro-inflammatory response, you know, a hyper-inflammatory response, or away from a hyper-inflammatory response, because we know that inflammation, especially in the context of chronic inflammation, can speed aging and cellular senescence. It would be interesting to find out what the makeup of their inflammatory response is, and ergo their immune system, and even deeper, what's the microbiome look like inside them?
I agree. Those are all great questions. I wish we could explore them all. We don't know. I don't know about the immune responses of the bowhead. I think it is something that would certainly be very interesting to look at. And I completely agree with you. I published a paper a few years ago with Tuck Finch in L.A. on making exactly that point, that, you know, the inflammatory response, as you mentioned, inflammation, chronic inflammation contributes to a number of age-related diseases. And so the way we respond to a particular, the way a species responds to a particular insult, has to be proportional to that insult. Otherwise, you can end up with chronic inflammation, which is going to be detrimental to you later in life. And so species have to find an optimum in the way they respond. And it could be important in the evolution of long lifespan, mm-hmm. As happens in human beings and as happens in the bowhead whale. So I certainly think that's a very interesting hypothesis. Would be very interesting to study if we had the access to samples to do that.
Right, right. And I understand the challenges, because how do you put a bunch of bowhead whales in a environment where they could be, you know, managed and monitored and checked, and it's a lot easier to do rats and mice and so on. And then the last thing that came to mind, which is actually a little tongue in cheek and on my end, is if we turn to the Buddhists, perhaps they'll tell us that the final life reward is the bowhead whale. You keep evolving until you become a bowhead whale, and then you live for 200 or 300 years. That's the spiritual side of that. So there you go. This is really interesting. So are you planning on moving forward? Are you trying to get funding so that you can move forward and learn more about what makes the bowhead whale tick, so to speak?
Absolutely. I mean, we're trying to do some work in cells now. I think the plan down the line, as I mentioned earlier, would be to try to actually go into mice and do some experiments in mice with bowhead whale genes. That's something we're trying to get some funding to do. But absolutely, this is something I wish to pursue in the future.
Okay. Well, I hope that you'll come back on the show when you have research and you start to elucidate some of these answers, because I think it's going to play a very big role in how we understand aging. So it's
okay, that's
great
a deal.
Stuff. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Dr. Magalhães.
All right. Thank you. My pleasure.
Take care. So there you have it. The bowhead whale lives to be 200 years old. Excuse me, who are you? Who are you?
Who am I?
Yeah, who are you? Where did you come from?
Who are you?
Did you just sit down over there? Did someone let you into this studio?
Yes, I just dropped in.
Oh, you just dropped in? Elisa actually booked that appointment on the Bowhead Whale, right?
Yes, I did.
So did you like what he had to say?
I did.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yes, I'm going to start eating plankton tonight. I'm going to the fish store to pick up plankton. I'm going to just start a steady diet of plankton. I'm going to live to be 200 years old.
I'll just keep taking my fish oil.
Anyway, it was a great discussion. I want to go ahead and thank our guests today. Of course, Dr. Jeff Galini for Science for Humans, talking about creatine. Next week, we're going to talk about some of the things you need to understand about creatine from a potentially dangerous side, because there are some issues related to supplementation. Also, I want to thank Dr. Dominic Pesta for coming on and talking about high-protein diets and how they affect weight loss, of course. And then thanks to Dr. J. Pedro Magalhaes for talking about the bowhead whale, which I am very interested in. And I want to come back next life as a bowhead whale. So there you go. And we have lots of great shows planned for the rest of the week, so please tune in tomorrow, and thank you for listening today.
And don't forget about Casual Friday.
Yeah, we got a lot of good things to talk about on Casual Friday. Bye. Say bye again. Say bye again.
Bye.
There it is, the signature. Bye.
In today's day and age, it's